then Test Drive 6. This was another. Was it a PlayStation port or would it have been a PC port? I don't know.
PlayStation, I
Dreamcast.
think.
Yeah, I definitely remember it coming out on PlayStation. Because we never got this in PAL, did we? For
No.
Dreamcast, which was pretty strange, really, if you think about it. What do they need? Where's
UK developer as well, bizarrely.
Yeah, mixed bag in the review sort of section on this. Some gave it really high, some gave it really low. I think it was just, came out in the middle of a load of other really good racing games, and so Test Drive as a concept was kind of coming, to a close by this point, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's, to me, it's just one of those like really bargain basement sort of ports. It reminds me of, it's in the same, for me, it's in the same category of stuff like Exhibition of Speed or Roadsters, like really just kind of not very good games. And it's surprising to see that it's actually in this list when we talked about games that aren't even in the list earlier on. So it's weird.
Yeah. The next one then, after coming in at 177, is Dolphin Blue, and I thought this was pretty significant to talk about because it was obviously one of the more recent sort of unofficial releases, if you like, coming from the Atomos Wave collection that got ported over to Dreamcast. I want to say last year, but I'm probably going to be wrong, and it was probably 2020, was it, when these got ported over, Tom, or was it last year?
I mean, I've lost all sense of time
I
at this
know,
point. So a lot of people have.
I
I think it might have been 2020, yeah.
know.
So yeah, for those who don't know, I think was it you, Tom, that wrote an article about all these on the
Yeah, several, yeah.
so worth going to have a look on the blog at them. There's basically a load of arcade games that ran on the similar hardware to the Dreamcast. What was the name of the board that it was using? Was it the I can't remember now. But
Was this just called the Atomos Wave?
that was literally it, was it? Okay, so we'll
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a handful of games that got ported over. They're all really, really good fun to watch and to play. I thought Dolphin Blue is one of those ones which, again, if you like, late 90s, early 2000s arcade machines with over the top explosions, big beautiful graphics, Dolphin Blue is one of the picks of the bunch, I suppose, where you basically ride a dolphin through the
Yeah.
sea and on top of the sea, shooting everything as you go. This is a shoot 'em up that I'll give an exception to because you get to ride a dolphin on. What was it like playing this for the first time then, Tom? Coming, as a what's effectively a new old Dreamcast release, I guess, for lack of a better term. How did it feel to play this on a Dreamcast machine?
Yeah, I mean, fantastic. I was aware of the game, but it was always one of those games that was kind of out of reach because I didn't have access to an Atomos Wave, and it was, yeah, how would you play this without getting an Atomos Wave? And
Yeah.
then for it to come to the Dreamcast, amazing. It's almost like it's got a very kind of Metal Slug vibe to it, if that makes sense. Because it's got a very SNK art style to it. Everything's super detailed, really well animated, and as you say, these massive sprites, massive explosions. Like ridiculous, crazy bosses. It's just a lot of fun, to be honest. Yeah, so great sort of side-scrolling, out 2D kind of shoot 'em up. Yeah, and like you say, this one does kind of buck the trend. I know we spoke earlier about not really being fans of this genre, but Dolphin Blue is different enough to make and interesting enough to make you kind of sit up and go, "Oh, what's that?"
Definitely significant as well for being the first Atomos Wave game in the top 200. So if you haven't checked them out yet, do go and do so. There'll be links to the downloads in the article because yeah, as far as I'm aware, they run pretty perfectly as well on Dreamcast hardware. There's
Yeah.
no issues, no slowdown, anything like that. So okay, back to racing games then. 176 is Monaco Grand Prix. This was an unlicensed Formula One game that was a launch title for Dreamcast, and then it was subsequently ported actually to PlayStation and 64 and everything else. But I believe it was out on Dreamcast first, or maybe PC. But this is one of those games that kind of didn't review as well as it should have, probably because of the lack of an official license. But this was always one of my favorite Formula One games, just because I thought the balance between sort of making it, between arcade and sim racer, I think they got it quite, or they did quite a good job on it. It wasn't too arcadey and it wasn't too sim like for people. So this is another one of those launch games, I think, that doesn't get often get enough credit that it deserves. So it's nice to see it up on the list here. And then it was also re-released later on into the Dreamcast life, really randomly, only in PAL regions as an online-only version to play online, which I would suspect is one of the lowest-selling PAL games ever released, given the timing of it all and everything that went into it. But yeah, I know you guys like your racing games. Is there anything about Monaco that you say puts it above any of the other racing, any other Formula One games on Dreamcast?
I remember playing it very early on when I first got a Dreamcast, because it came on, I think it was on Dream On.
It was, on the first one that came in, yeah, with the console.
Yeah, so it was a nice sort of introduction to, like, this is how good games can look. Playing it since, I'm not overly enamoured with it. It just seems very basic, to be honest, gameplay-wise. I'm not a big fan of the handling of the cars either. It scores points for having, like, a retro mode, which is an interesting addition. But other than that, I'm not a big fan. I played it on the N64 as well, and it's essentially the same game, but slightly higher resolution visuals. So it's quite unremarkable for me, to be honest.
Interestingly, Monaco Grand Prix was not in the top 200 last time around. So that's a new or a re-entry back in at the dizzy heights of 176. Next up is F1 World Grand Prix. We'll put a pin in that one because F1 World Grand Prix 2 is coming up shortly, so we'll cover both of those in the same breath. Hidden and Dangerous is an interesting Dreamcast game, completely unplayable with a control pad, as I've discovered recently. Basically, how would you describe this one? A Tom Clancy-esque, styly... strategy game.
Yeah, like a tactical shooter, isn't it? A tactical third and first person shooter.
Yeah. But if you're going to play that one, definitely invest in a mouse and keyboard, because it's very, very difficult to play otherwise. Next up is Seventh Cross Evolution. Tom, I know you've played this before because you wrote about it on the blog, which, yeah. And I must say, from looking at the screenshots, it looks like one of the most bizarre games ever created. And even from the screenshots, I have no idea what's going on. So, give us the summary of Seventh Cross Evolution.
It's weird that the Dreamcast actually has two games where you play as like an amoeba, because there's another one called Lack of Love. Where you sort of start off as this kind of, like, almost like a single-celled organism. But this is the other one, where you basically start off as a, like I say, a cell, like a blob, and then you have to basically evade predators in this, like, swamp area, and you have to evolve yourself to become more adept at attacking and defending yourself, and then eventually you can, like, you know, become a land-based life form, and then you can walk around and... It's just a really odd concept for a game. It's nice that somebody had the idea to do that. It's not all just like shoot 'em ups and football games, but it takes a lot of time and effort to actually get anywhere in the game. And then you've got these kind of like weird, like cryptic boss battles and things, and it's just like, what am I even doing here? Like, it's one of them games you can imagine would have been released only in Japan, but it was also released in the US with an English translation, so it's just like, Who decided to do that? It's one of those games that would be you could imagine it just being a complete Japanese only, like, esoteric release that hardly anybody ever played, but came out on the Dreamcast in the US as well. So, yeah, it's quite a cheap game now. You can get it fairly cheap, if I'm not mistaken. So it's worth a look if you can find it.
Nice. 172 then, second beat 'em up is Street Fighter 3 Double Impact. I remember this never getting not making the impact that I think Capcom probably wanted from a Street Fighter game.
That intended that pun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it wasn't actually, but I obviously don't realise my own. Yes, indeed. It's probably the most well-known Street Fighter on Dreamcast of all the releases that actually came out. Is this the only PAL one, or did they bring out anything else in PAL? I can't remember.
Third Strike,
sorry, yes.
And obviously Zero.
Yeah.
Alpha Zero.
Yeah, Alpha.
Alpha 3.
Yeah. Yep. So that's Street Fighter. And then 171st is Sega Extreme Sports. I did a retrospective on this on the blog fairly recently, probably tail end of last year now. Really some interesting concepts in there. Good game. As I said earlier on, I think there was a big influx of extreme sports titles back in the late 90s. So not unsurprising to see that come in the chart here. Just going to whiz through some of these then before we get... Actually, we're going to go on to F1 World Grand Prix now. But Jedi Power Battles, nothing spectacular there, 170th. Yeah. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, the original, 169th, which was just a janky port of the PS1 game. I think it's Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, which is normally sort of looked at in a more fonder light. And then that brings us to F1 World Grand Prix 2 at 168. Tom, I know this is one of your favourite games on the Dreamcast, so do you want to cover this one? And Mike, feel free to chime in as well, this one and the original, and we'll just have a quick conversation about these two.
Yeah, for me, these represent the pinnacle of Formula 1 on the Dreamcast, excuse me. I was a big fan of the N64 games, which are a completely different developer. But the Dreamcast ones obviously look better. For me, they play slightly better. They play differently, but also slightly better. And of course, it's got all the official trappings. You know, it's got the official FIA license, it's all correct drivers and teams, etc. I don't really know what else to tell you about it. It's a Formula One game, but it's just really good. That's it, really. It looks the part, plays pretty well, and it's also one of those games. There's several of them on the Dreamcast that actually has PlayStation sort of advertising in it.
Oh, the Prost, I think, was sponsored by PlayStation at the time.
Indeed, yeah. So, can't really say much more about it. I mean, it does get a bit choppy when the spray's flicking up and the sky's sort of pouring with rain. Mm. It's just, and one of the really, it's all the little nice details that you see in the game that are really cool as well. You've got, like, you know, usual things like glowing up brake discs and that kind of thing, but one of the camera views is from above the driver's head.
Do you know, I was just going to say that. Yeah,
the way the inertia like moves the driver, it just adds a little bit of like
the moving head. Yeah. I agree with you. Graphically, it looked amazing. The presentation of these games were superb. I didn't think the handling was particularly great, but I agree with that. I was going to say the cockpit views in games were still pretty basic at this time, and to have one where the driver's hands moved and the steering wheel moved and you could see that happening and the head's moving, the helmet's moving side to side as well. It was really, really well done. And I think definitely looked the best Formula One game, if not the best, one of the best racing games on the console. I would say that you mentioned there about the N64 versions. I remember the N64 versions having like the scenario modes in them where you used to have to take over, and being a Formula One fan, being able to take over like real life scenarios and try and change the outcome of them was really appealing. And it was I always remember being disappointed that they weren't included in the Dreamcast versions as well. That was pretty disappointing, unless you're going to tell me that it is in there and I've just
no it's not it's, it. I think that's down to the fact that they were done by completely different development teams. There's nothing in the Dreamcast games that was in the N64 games and vice versa. They've come back and completely siloed games, but just under the same brand. I did a retrospective on Grand Prix 2 recently on the blog, and I go into in depth the sort of the nature of the two like games that were being developed in tandem almost. There was also a F1 World Grand Prix 3 was in the planning stages for the N64. It recently came out that somebody mentioned it in an interview. I think it's on like the Lost Media Wiki. It's something on there about it, which I linked to in my retrospective. But that was quite interesting that they were going to put a third game on the N64, but not on the Dreamcast.
Totally off topic, but I seem to remember them talking about porting in magazines now, reading that they were porting Jeff Crammond's Grand Prix 3, I think it was, to Dreamcast as well. I remember being super excited for that because I had Grand Prix 2 on a very, very tame PC at the time. It certainly wasn't a gaming PC, so the thought of that coming on Dreamcast was pretty exciting. But
yeah, It was one of the Dreamcast magazines had a big cover feature on it coming to the Dream, and there was no screenshots or anything from a supposed Dreamcast version, because the Dreamcast version never actually began production. Yeah. If I'm correct. And I've seen, obviously I use the internet, and I've been on things like Reddit, and I've seen like on these Reddit subreddits, like Lost Media subreddits, they have these things like called Lost Media Icebergs, where they have, you know, the most really sought after Lost Media stuff. And I saw on one of them, it had Jeff Crammond's Grand Prix 3 for the Dreamcast. It never existed. It's not, it can't be Lost Media if it doesn't exist. Do you know what I mean? I'm just trying to get that off my chest. So, yeah, it's not real, essentially.
Maybe one day someone will find something that was...
do you know what's going to happen now? I'm going to be made to eat my words, because next week someone will find it.
I hope they do, mate. I hope they do.
We'll get an email from Combi saying he's found it.
No, we'll get an email saying don't put it.
Don't say anything.
Interesting point, actually, about that, just very, very quickly.
Yes,
That game came out, I was... So Grand Prix 3 and Jeff Crammond made the game about 500 yards from where I live. Mm. Obviously, my composer was based in the town I live in. And I actually did a very, very short amount of work experience at about 99, it would have been. So potentially, I could have actually seen a very early Dreamcast version of the game, but I didn't, because it didn't exist. So there we go.
You need to nip round there, mate, and have a conversation with Jeff.
Long closed now, long closed. Yeah.
Grand Prix 2, completely off topic, but that was one of my most played games growing up on the PC. Okay, so then we've got, where are we on the list? I've lost my place. 167, Silent Scope, 166, NBA 2K, the beautifully named Tapeworm Disco Puzzle at 165, which is another indie game, I believe.
It is, yeah.
It's like a NES-themed game, isn't it? Originally designed for the NES. And
yeah, so it's done by Alistair, I can't remember his surname now, which is a bit embarrassing, but it's a sequel to Flea, which is another fantastic indie game. But yeah, Tapeworm Disco Puzzle is a really fun sort of puzzle game, lots of humour in it, really old-school charm.
I wonder which Parasite he's going to use next for his next game.
Yeah.
Got Flea, Tapeworm, then Bola's not Parasite, is
it? Bot flies. Bot. Bot fly and Knuckles, or something like that.
And that was 1987.
Yeah. 164th Ghost Play, which is another shmup, so it is what it is. 163, I'm really pleased to see this one so high up, which is Railroad Tycoon 2. I think this is another underrated Dreamcast game. I played the demo of this when I was a kid so many hours, because I never had the full game, and since growing up and revisiting Dreamcast, it's a game that I've sunk quite a bit of time into. Really good fun, and I think it's people that didn't have a gaming PC growing up, things like this just kind of gave us a peek into the sorts of games that I think we'd be playing on PC. But yes, really nice game, Railroad Tycoon.
And I've mentioned this before, but it's officially compatible with the arcade stick, Railroad Tycoon 2. So it's on the back of the box.
Interesting. Isn't it one of those ones as well that should be compatible with a mouse but isn't? I'm pretty sure it's not compatible with a mouse. Because I was having this conversation with PC Wizard the other day, and there are surprisingly few games that are actually compatible with the mouse that you'd think would be or should be compatible with it. But yes, I believe Railroad Tycoon is not compatible with the mouse. 162, which I think is... I can't remember if it's down on what it was previously, but it's certainly a game that I think has sort of fallen in popularity recently. It used to be the kind of the spearhead indie release, I guess, for Dreamcast and other consoles. Yeah, it was actually 123rd in the 2016 chart. Is Pierre Solar, the Dreamcast version of said Mega Drive game. Decent indie game. I know there's been a bit of controversy around Watermelon and what have you, it's still a significant game. It's probably one of the I don't know how you determine these, but I've always kind of referred to them as almost AAA indie games, and this is kind of I think one of the first ones of that ilk. Is it a game you guys have played?
Personally, I haven't played it, but I'm aware of it and I know all about the history of it and everything like that, but I've not really played it, so.
Yeah, I've not done the Dreamcast version. I have played it on Mega Drive. I own the Mega Drive version.
Isn't it on, like, current-gen systems now as well?
Yeah,
it was on everything. PS4 and